to pursue us, but the others continued toward the homestead. They were less than half a mile away from the top of the hill, and I guessed that they would reach the first wall in a few minutes. I needed to get back to Nika and Callie, but first I had to deal with the goblins that chased after us. Sawsaw tapped my leg and put his finger to his lips, then pointed behind the tree that we hid behind. I nodded and listened, but I didn't hear any sound of footsteps.
"Goblins are good at sneaking," Nika's voice said in my head, and I held my breath.
A few seconds later, Sawsaw suddenly stabbed a goblin in the neck as it stalked past. I hadn't heard the goblin at all, even though the ground was littered with small branches and pine cones that should have easily given it away. Another one emerged from the shadows and grabbed for my son, but Sawsaw twisted and spun out of the way, and I stabbed his attacker in the heart with my buck knife.
"Dada,"
Sawsaw said as he pulled me along after him. This was goblin warfare, and I didn't question my son's tactics. He led me to a small clearing among the tall oaks and urged me to follow as he scampered up the tree. The branches hung low enough for me to reach them, so I pulled myself up onto a thick one and waited with my son 12 feet above the ground. 30 seconds later, 6 goblins emerged from the shadows and crept across the clearing. I glanced at Sawsaw, who nodded at me, and together we leapt out of the tree. Sawsaw landed on a goblin's back and stabbed him in the eye, while I took out 2 of the monsters with axe and knife as I fell on them. The others cried out and turned to attack, but Sawsaw was already on the move. He danced around them and slashed their heels, and I finished them off with my sword and buck knife when they turned to try to fight him. The drums stopped, and Sawsaw and I shared a look.
"Mama,"
he said urgently. "Come on," I told him, and we raced through the trees until we reached the bridge. Then we both hurried up the hill to the house. The remainder of the goblin war party gathered by the eastern wall. They didn't attempt to spread out and surround the homestead, and I was grateful for their inept leadership. I led Sawsaw through the western gate opposite the goblin horde, and when we reached the battlements, we found Nika and Callie crouched down behind the eastern wooden inner wall.
"Kenjul,"
Nika cried happily as I rushed over with Sawsaw. "We killed a bunch of them," I told her.
"Sawsaw,"
my son said as he mimicked slitting throats.
"I'm so glad that you weren't hurt,"
Callie said as she gave Sawsaw a big hug, and my son pushed out his chest with pride.
"Stand and declare yourself leader of Clan Jewel," Nika said. "Show them your might."
I spied the goblins through one of the many murder holes in the battlement wall. They seemed to be waiting for something, and they loitered in loose formation 15 feet away on the other side of the pitfall traps I dug out.
"I am Ken Jewel, leader of..."
I said as I stood up on the wooden walkway so that the invading group of goblins could see me.
"King of Clan Jewel,"
Nika hissed.
"I am the King of Clan Jewel," I said, "and you will never defeat me."
"Tell them that you will chop them into little pieces and then eat their babies,"
Nika urged from where she sat huddled with the others.
"What?" I whispered down at her. "I'm not going to eat goblin babies."
Nika popped up and threw a spear at the gathered goblins. It hit one of them in the throat and blood sprayed from his neck as he thudded to the ground.
"My king will kill you all and eat your babies," Nika screamed.
Then Callie popped up beside her and shook her fist in the air.
"He'll piss on your corpses and cut off your balls,"
the siren screamed.
"Balls,"
Sawsaw reiterated fiercely. The goblins all shared looks that varied from fearful to indignant. The fattest of all the goblins rode on the back of a large lizard, and he stood in his saddle and pointed at me. He was adorned in real metal armor and carried a long spear.
"You have stolen from the king of Ashgor Hekamufta," the fat goblin said. "As punishment, you will be devoured by the great and powerful Urnarg."
"Holy shit,"
Sawsaw said. "Who's Urnarg?" I asked Nika as we ducked back behind the wall to avoid a half dozen spears that the goblins threw.
"Oh, he's just a stupid cave troll," she said with a lazy wave of her hand.
"A cave troll? Are we talking a big troll or a little one that hides beneath bridges and demands a toll be paid to pass?" I asked. Before she could answer, a heavy thud shook the battlements.
"He is not small," Nika said. But he is dumb and ugly. You are very strong, handsome, and clever. You will find a way to defeat him. It will be fun. You will like it.
I spied the eastern ridge through the murder hole, and a mirthless laugh escaped me as I laid eyes on the colossal beast. The creature that I saw marching toward the warren in the red haze of the half-moon was at least 20 feet tall. Its sinewy body was a dull green, and massive muscles rippled beneath slimy skin. Two yellow eyes as big as dinner plates hung from two long eye stalks similar to a snail's. The head was big and round, and a nose like a mushroom bloomed between the eye stalks. The creature's mouth was a gaping mass of bubbling green ooze, and when the ooze dripped onto the ground, it burned through dirt and stone like the blood of Ridley Scott's alien. "Fuck me," I said as I watched the goblins part for the massive monster.
"Right here? Right now?" Nika asked.
She even looked turned on by the idea. "What? No. I mean, fuck, that thing is huge," I explained. "Where did he come from? He must have had to crawl out of the entrance."
"They can burrow through the ground," Nika explained.
"Fuck me,"
Sawsaw mimicked as he peeked at the monster.
"What are we going to do?" Callie asked.
"One of your songs would come in pretty handy right about now," I said.
"Oh, yes," Nika said as she clapped her hands. "Sing one of your songs."
A roar tore through the still night that made my asshole pucker up like it had just been given a sour apple enema. The monster bellowed again as it came to stand next to the goblins, but then its terrible scream was replaced by Callie's angelic voice. Then the massive monster and all the goblins stopped and blinked their eyes with confusion. My heart quickened, and I felt myself grow stronger, faster, and more alert. Beside me, Nika let out an almost orgasmic shudder while Sawsaw bounced on his toes like a boxer hopped up on meth.
"Kill them all!" I screamed as I popped up and threw a spear at the cave troll some 40 yards away. My throw was true, and with the strength granted to me by Callie's magic, the tip of the spear slammed into the beast's stomach.
Nika, Callie, and Sawsaw threw their spears a half-moment after mine, and their weapons pierced the ugly monster's chest a few feet above where mine hit. The cave troll reeled back from our weapons, and then it covered its mossy ears as it howled like a lonely wolf. If anything, the monster seemed more upset about that music than it did about the three spears sticking out of its torso.
"Attack the goblins!" I shouted as the four of us unleashed a barrage of spears at the goblins as they rushed the wall.
I didn't know if it was because of Callie's song, or if we were all really skilled at throwing spears, but each of our throws found its mark, and we had soon whittled down the attacking force to about 30. But then we ran out of spears, and the goblins managed to climb up the wooden walls. I unsheathed my short sword and hacked at the beasts. Beside me, Sawsaw chanted, "Die, die, die," and chopped at them with his twin hatchets. Nika seemed to be having a ball and laughed as she stabbed goblins in the face with her short sword. We fought them off as the troll stomped around the ridge and clutched its head. I hoped that the thing would just give up and run away, but when the fat goblin leader climbed up onto the cave troll's head, the monster was forced into the fight. We had killed about 20 goblins as they tried to climb the walls, but the rest of them had gotten smart and started to run along the wall to find another place to climb up. Callie's song was causing them all to move slower than I would have expected, so my real worry turned once again to the 20-foot-tall troll.
"Can you guys handle the goblins?" I asked Sawsaw and Nika.
"Yes, go, Kenjul," she said. "You should kill the cave troll. It will be fun. You will see."
She gave me a kiss and then ran off toward the north battlement.
"Sawsaw,"
my son offered me a salute, then took Callie's hand and led her to the south wall. Callie smiled at me as she sang and glided behind Sawsaw with the grace of a goddess. I jumped down from the wall and ran back into our house. On the mantel above the fireplace, I grabbed the bottle of distilled alcohol that Nika had stolen from the hunting team. Then I climbed back up the wall and shimmied down the other side in the direct path of where the troll was lumbering. Then I turned to face the cave troll who was being led back toward the wall by the fat goblin.
"All right, fuckers, let's dance."
A torch lay beside a dead goblin, so I grabbed it and raced across the breach before I could tell myself how bad of a plan this was.
It was easy for me to maneuver between the pitfalls, and I raced past the cave troll while I taunted its driver with a stream of vulgarities. It worked, and I hauled ass down the hill toward the river with the monster hot on my heels. Once I had successfully steered it away from the warren, I led it toward the bridge. There was a huge pile of brush and branches across the river that Sawsaw and I had piled up after clearing the land. We had intended to have a massive bonfire one night, and it appeared that tonight was the night. I raced across the bridge and dared a glance back at the troll. It was less than 20 feet behind me, and the goblin on its head was cursing it to go faster as it yanked on the monster's eye stalks. The bonfire pile was 200 feet away, and I redoubled my efforts as the troll charged onto the bridge. Then I heard the sharp crack of the bridge's two main beams as they snapped beneath the great weight of the monster, followed by the sound of it falling into the water. Had it not been for the bridge breaking, the cave troll might have caught me, but by the time I reached the brush pile, it was just emerging from the river. I hurriedly threw off my pack, grabbed my 50-foot rope, and tied it to the nearest tree stump. Then I raced in the opposite direction and secured the other end to a similar stump. The entire process took me less than 30 seconds in my Kali-enchanted condition, and the cave troll was still 100 feet away.
"Move, you idiot!" the goblin driver urged. "Stomp the human, crush his brains!" "Crush brains," the behemoth droned in a voice that rumbled like a diesel engine.
"Come and get me, you big green slug," I taunted after I had walked around the brush pile and waved my torch at the monster. Then I bit the cork off the bottle of spirits and emptied it over the pile of wood. The cave troll lurched forward and crashed across the forest I had already cleared. Its massive feet left 4-foot-long prints in the dirt as it charged me, and I forced my trembling legs to hold my position until just the right moment. Then I threw my torch into the pile of dried branches, leaves, needles, and alcohol-turned-lighter fluid. The brush went up like kindling, and I dove out of the way just as the troll's foot caught on my tripwire.
"Stop!"
the goblin driver shrieked as soon as he saw the fire, but it was half a moment too late. The troll tripped over my rope and lurched forward. Its arms cartwheeled as it tried to regain its balance, but its forward momentum pulled it forward. Then the troll landed on the bonfire and the ground shook beneath my feet. The monster's slimy body was wet, but to my surprise, the acid that dripped from its mouth went up like napalm. The explosion destroyed the creature's head and knocked me back through the air 10 feet. I landed on my side, rolled to a stop against a tree trunk, and watched as the monster's body went up in flames.
"That's what you get when you fuck with Clan Jewel," I screamed as I unsheathed my sword and raised it in the air.
My shit-talking was interrupted by a short sword that suddenly appeared out of nowhere and swung toward my head. I instinctively brought down my blade at the last possible moment and deflected the blow. Then I rolled twice to my left and sprang to my feet as the fat goblin charged after me. His body was smoldering, and while I could see that he had sustained terrible burns from the explosion, he didn't move as if he was injured.
"You killed my cave troll," he screamed in a voice like Jabba the Hutt.
The fat goblin swung his sword with wild abandon, but I was still stronger and faster than someone almost 2 feet shorter than me, so I used that to my advantage. Our blades smacked against each other's 6 times, and then I began to fake like I was tired. He got cocky and came across with a tree-felling strike meant to chop me in half, but then I darted to the right, stabbed him through the side seam in his armor, and plunged my ivory-handled dwarven shortsword deep into his heart. The goblin war leader dropped his sword with a gasp and turned to stare at me in shock.
"My wives told you not to fuck with Clan Jewel," I growled as I pushed my blade deeper into his body. "Don't you know that the wife is always right?" His wide eyes glazed over and I kicked him off my sword.
Then I turned to look back at the house on the other side of the river. Callie was no longer singing, and I didn't hear the sounds of battle. Nevertheless, I raced back to the river and quickly swam across. Then I sprinted up the hill and called out to my family.
"Dada!"
Sawsaw cheered, and I let out a sigh of relief when I saw the three of them standing on the wall. Sawsaw called my name again, and he proudly held up a severed goblin head. I couldn't help but laugh.
"We killed them all," Nika cheered as I quickly scaled the walls to meet them. "We defended the warren. Hooray for Clan Jewel."
"Clan Jewel,"
Callie sang, and the sight of my victorious family filled me with joy.
"Holy shit,"
Saw-Saw bellowed as he dropped the goblin head and raised his pair of dripping blood-soaked hatchets over his head. I joined my family up on the battlements, and they showered me with hugs and kisses as we danced to our victory. The grounds were littered with dozens of goblin bodies, and the cave monster still burned on the other side of the river. A few parts of the wall would need to be repaired on the east side, but the four of us were unharmed. We had defended our home against the denizens of the Underdark and had proven ourselves a powerful and able clan. "We did it," I said as a warm feeling of gratitude filled my chest. I felt unstoppable as I gazed upon the destroyed bodies of my enemies, but I knew that we would have a lot of work cleaning this all up tomorrow. Then I'd have more work building the walls stronger, taller, and better.
"We will continue to be attacked," Nika said after we had all spent a good 10 minutes hugging and congratulating each other. "We must expand our warren. We must grow our family and our army. We must continue to build until we are the most powerful force in all the whole wide world. It will be fun."
"We don't just have the Underdark to worry about," I said as I turned to my family. "The humans can attack us at any time. They don't need to wait for the darkness. They are going to be our biggest concern, so I have to figure out how to keep us hidden until we are strong enough to fight them."
"You will figure out a way," Nika said with a confident nod. "You are the smartest king in the world, and both of your wives are clever, beautiful, and will give you strong children. That is all a king needs."
"This all sounds so very exciting,"
Callie said as she hugged her arms around her belly.
"I'm so happy that Ken and Saw-Saw found me, and I hope I'm pregnant."
"Saw-Saw," the half-goblin boy declared proudly. "I think someone is excited about being a big brother," I said as I hugged the little guy. Then I pulled the two women into another embrace, and the four of us stared up at the blood-red moon hanging low in the sky.
Yeah. There was a lot to do tomorrow, and the days after, but I'd figure out a plan to protect my family. And I'd conquer this entire world if it was needed to ensure their safety. End of Book One.
This has been Monster Empire, written by Michael Scott Earle, narrated by James Patrick Cronin. Production coordination by Blue Nose Audio. Copyright 2018 by Michael Scott Earle. Production copyright 2018 by Michael Scott Earle.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.